Legal disclaimer. Stamp Show here today, its affiliates and organizations are not responsible for any maiming, dismemberment, or physical injury from listening to this podcast. It is suggested that all listeners wear proper head protection and fasten all seat belts. Discontinue use if rash develops. Ask your physician if Stamp Show here today is right for you.
Live from the Nuka-Cola Theater, this is the award-winning Stamp Show here today. If you can dream it, we can collect it. Brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation for the advancement of philately. You can support this Witless Tosh by joining the Stamp Show Here Today community. The cost is only $10 for a lifetime membership. We are an APS-affiliated club. Listen to the end credits for information on joining. This is Cash.
This is Mark.
This is Jim.
This is Robert.
And Robert, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Robert from Chula Vista Coins and Collectibles in San Diego. We're downtown Chula Vista, 397 3rd Avenue.
Excellent. And the reason you're here is because we are going to discuss some various things. I was watching a YouTube on coins, and the topic of the YouTube was what you shouldn't buy. And the thing that they had is their number one was proof sets. Now, there's a lot of parallels between stamp collecting and coin collecting here, but Robert, why don't you tell us what proof sets are and why they might not be the best investment?
Oh, okay. Well, proof sets are they're coins that are mostly struck from San Francisco Mint. They're struck with a polished die up to three times. They're highly polished, almost mirror-like. They're beautiful coins. They're minted for the collector, usually for celebrate birthdays or some passing. They also, the last 3 or 4 years, have become very expensive, $90 to $140 from the U.S. Mint.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Now, how does that price compare to the actual face value?
Yeah. Not very much. I mean, you got 4 or 5 quarters. You got a half dollar, a proof set, you only have 1 half dollar. A dime, a nickel, and a penny. So you don't get much value. The value comes from how many they made, and if that is in demand, it becomes, it becomes a collectible.
So what about older proof sets? He said last 3 years. Let's go way, way back, like in a time machine to pre-COVID.
1936, yeah, you're talking about, $4,600.
No, I'm talking about just pre-COVID, like 2012.
Okay, let's go to 1999. 1999 was the first year they came out with the new state quarters. And those sets sold in the beginning for like $28-$30 about. But then they quickly zoomed to over $300.
Okay, so how many? There are 4 quarters in the set, right?
That's correct.
So it's got a face value
of 5 quarters, actually.
Oh, five. So it's got a face value of $1.25.
For the quarters.
And it,
50 cent.
And it costs
$1. And now, okay, they did cost over $300 at one point. Within the last, 6-7 years, that cost has gone all the way back down to $66.
No.
Now, the demand was because it was the first set that you could only get the silver quarters in that set. And that's the other option. We're buying a proof set. You have the S-clad proof, and you have the S-proof silver sets.
So what does a proof set look like? Why don't you describe it to the people?
So it comes in a nice box. Usually the recent ones are blue for clad, red for being silver. They are struck, obviously, just out of regular clad silver. You get them in a nice box that comes in nice plastic cases that contain the 4 quarters. Like in 99, you had the 5 quarters, sorry. You had the half dollar, the penny, the nickel, the dime, and then separate. So you had these two boxes that came into a box.
And when they came out with the silver dollars, they actually gave you a nice wooden box with like velvet interior and stuff.
You mean the Ike dollars?
Yeah.
The Ike dollars. Well, they actually look like a wooden box, but they're cardboard.
Oh.
And they're only 40% silver.
Yeah.
So they have a value of about $8.75 in silver right now.
So basically, if you bought these when they first came out, today you are a net gainer of how much? What percentage is your? Can you afford now to send your kid through college with it?
No way. If you go to even let's go to the 2012 silver proof sets, which the Kennedy half dollar is the most expensive coin in that set. That set was selling for $225 6 months ago. Today, that's all the way down back to $100. The Kennedy half dollar alone is probably $50 to $70 in value of that. So somebody that's collecting that wants to put together that set are going to need that half dollar. But the price of that has actually come way down.
So we're going to now switch that from coins to stamps. Because, again, this YouTube started off with that. And it's like, well, how do stamps relate to coins? I mean, what possibly could we have in the stamp market that is like a proof set that you pay a whole bunch of money for and then can't sell for a whole bunch of money later?
Well, one similarity that I saw is that when the stamps are packaged in a way that the packaging is worth more than the value of the stamps... That's a red flag.
Yes. I actually, Tom's not here. Tom hasn't been in here for a while. I re-gifted a gift for the Christmas gift exchange, and it was the aquarium stamps, which, you know, face value is, I think, $3.80 or something like that. You know, the aquarium stamps.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. You've got a blank look that nobody else can see because this is a podcast.
Right.
But that's my normal look.
It was inside of a acrylic holder that had like fake aquarium stuff around it. So it looked sort of like a fake aquarium. And the back of it had still the price on it, and it was $55 from the post office.
That is a lot of money.
And I think the face value is $680.
$680, okay. Yeah. And I was looking at it saying, you know, how the heck do I get these stamps out of here so I can use them? And then I said, you know, this is too much work for even the face value of postage. So I just gave it as a gift.
And then Tom... kid finally got a hold of it and mailed letters.
No. Actually, Tom gave it to his kids, and the kids actually liked it.
Yeah.
So it's like, cool.
Yeah.
But $55 down to, I can't get these stamps out.
All right. So the Postal Service, they really pushed their quote-unquote collectibles in their magazine, which I think is driven by marketing people as opposed to philatelists. You know, they try and package these stamps together with, framing and stuff like that. And I saw the APS was sent out an email with a link to a questionnaire regarding the USPS products, which I filled out. But what the questionnaire seemed to be asking is our marketing working for you? You know, do you actually like this stuff? Of which I, put down that I do not, because I don't buy any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think they're trying to figure out, you know, why is it the stamp collectors aren't buying this stuff? You know, they're so beautiful. You know, they're so beautifully packaged.
I think there's proof. If you go to a yard sale or a swap meet, you will tend to see that kind of stuff out
right.
there. Right. And it will be usually pretty cheap.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people there are three things that are required to be a collectible. The first one is it has to be something which is used or used up, like Barbie dolls, the first and second and third. If you want to learn about Barbie dolls, go ahead and Google it. But basically, the first three Barbie dolls have great value, and it's because they were played with, and then they were destroyed, and then they were thrown away, and stuff like that. So getting a generation one, two, or three Barbie doll in good condition is tough. And so they're valuable. Second thing is limited. Now, nothing is like unlimited. It's not like you put an infinite number of stamps into the market. But there is a certain limit to the number of items which are issued. And getting back to Barbie, they made 50,000 of these big. You cannot unsee them if you've seen them. They're these big, huge boxes with a Barbie inside. And then she's wearing like this big, flowing Cinderella sort of dress. And it was sold as a collectible for, I forget, it was over $100.
Those are in the 90s and 2000s, I believe, yes.
And
Macy's put stuff out, all that stuff.
And now they're like, you know, $25. You pay more for shipping than you pay for the actual.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't pay more than five.
Yeah.
I've bought many collections of Barbies over the years. Harley Davidson is a good one.
And then the third item, which is the real killer, is if an item is sold as a collectible, by definition, it isn't a collectible. If you're selling a stamp, a coin, a Barbie doll, or anything as a collectible, by definition, that is not a collectible, because collectibles are not sold as collectibles. So, you know, when you get into that, you sit there and go, well, the Mint or the Post Office or Mattel, you know, they're printing these things or making these things and then saying, hey, we can sell these to people. Well, a great illustration is what happens, if, you know, everybody knows a car when you drive it off the lot. What happens to like a coin or a proof set or something the year it's sold and 2 years later?
If it's within the last 6 years, that could make a difference because there's still a demand. But after that, it goes down significantly.
Yep.
Yes.
So there's a demand when it first hits the market. Everybody goes, oh, I got to get this before they all disappear. And if you just wait like 18 months.
Yeah, with COVID, I mean, that there was limited productions that were put out in 2019, 2020, even 2021. There were limited productions that were put out. So people that couldn't get it or thought it was too expensive, now they want to continue. It's really expensive to get that at this time. But those are holding up. It's kind of like the 2019, the V75, the gold piece that came out. That thing, you know, when it came out, gold at the time, I think, was $1,600, $1,700, sold for $2,600 from the Mint. That thing now is still $10,500.
Well,
so that has, there are some exceptions to that, but not, I mean, I would say 99% of the items, you're going to fail at making money at, yeah.
Well, I'd say with the U.S. Post Office, it's 100.
Exactly.
with the exception of press sheets. Sometimes the imperforated press sheets, you can hit it well. And even common, and I'm using finger quotes because none of them are common, but even the common imperforated press sheets are still going for above face. So they actually have held up value. But I just, it wasn't just now, it was a couple months ago. I bought perforated press sheets and I paid the person 50% of face. And these were sold strictly as a collectible to collectors, but they're so big.
Yep.
They're huge. I mean, I'm going to rip them all apart and use them as postage. So people who buy from me on eBay, you'll be able to see the stamps covering up stuff that, you know, I've already explained that I use old envelopes and just cover up the first day markings.
First day covers and put new stamps over them.
Wow.
Yep, exactly.
Well, it's cheaper than buying envelopes.
Oh, exactly. I've got old envelopes I use as well. And those stamps, yeah, like you said, if you're getting 50%, 70%, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, with the envelopes, though, I got them in COVID. I didn't know how long COVID was going to last. So I got six boxes of 500 from a dealer who gave them to me really super cheap. But I couldn't buy envelopes at, you know, Staples and everybody, Uline, they were gone.
Right.
So I use these envelopes, and now I'm down to my last two boxes.
We had people come in that used to have put the stamps on the envelopes, and they bring the envelopes in with the stamps and sold me a ton of those. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do I pay for these? Because now I have more work to put the other stamps on to get it correct, or I'm going to put more on than I need to. But, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things. When you pay 50%, you know, you can – it's 68 cents for postage. Just get it close to 70 cents.
Yep.
It's like if you overpay, who cares?
Exactly. It's amazing how much that forever stamp has gone up in the last few years.
Oh,
it's now 68 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Well, make money on that.
Yeah. And going up in July to 73.
Yep. July of 73 cents.
Man, I have so many stamps. my Forever stamps have sat there since they first came out, and I probably have enough for a lifetime of Forever stamps in my shop.
Well, that it'll be interesting because, what comes to my mind from things sold as collectibles that did not hold up their value. And, you know, we can jump all over first day covers. But I think the biggest crash in stuff I've ever seen is Princess Di collectibles. Because, you know, a first day cover, it had like 35 cents in face on it. And then, you know, the envelope and everything. So maybe it cost 50 cents and they'd sell it for like $3, $4. And then they charge you shipping on top of that. Princess Di stuff, you were paying $10, $15, $20 for an item.
Incredible.
That today, you know, is, I'm not going to say valueless because it does have some value, but it's, you know, that's like a 99% loss on that stuff.
Yeah. We'll go back to the first day covers. How about those first day covers with addresses on them?
Oh, man.
What the heck is that? Who thought of that great idea?
Well, people are egotistic. And they go, this is mine. This is going to be valuable and is going to survive me after my death.
Sure. And, try and sell it.
And and people will look at this first day cover and say, Joe Smith, wow, he was a stamp collector in the 1970s. And yeah, except that.
I guess if you had Ronald Reagan on it, you know, maybe that would be a little collectible.
Yeah, if your name was Ronald Reagan. So, Jim, what other stuff have you seen that's sold as collectibles or not as collectibles?
Well, the thing that jumps to my mind is the gold foil replica stamps. That's a really big loser.
But they're gold.
Yeah.
You're a coin person. How much gold is on a gold replica stamp?
Maybe pennies.
Yeah.
There's like, yeah. It's paint. Hello.
There's a volcano down in Antarctica that is spewing out gold dust.
Wow.
Right now. And I'm like, do I really want to go to Antarctica and dig through volcanic ash for 30 cents?
And not only that, it's so bulky.
Yes.
Yeah. Gosh. Takes up so much room.
Well, the gold foil replicas is one thing that comes to mind. I do see those sell on eBay, which is remarkable. But
they trying to put sets together?
I don't know.
Well, actually,
it's probably the only way you can get like a C3A. You know, So
there are two of them that regular. Whenever I get them, it's just like free money. A gold foil stamp for Marilyn Monroe.
Oh yeah.
Is worth 25, 30 bucks if it's on an unaddressed cover. All the rest of them combined are like $25, $30. So this one, that one has all the value. And then Jim Dean also has some value to it. It's not as much as Marilyn Monroe, but.
Well, it's like that with first day covers too. There's certain first day covers of topical people look for, and so occasionally you can find a market, you know, a little niche in the market for those kinds of things. But yeah, basically for me, I like first day covers that are addressed if they're older, because there's some different rates. Sometimes you get registered covers.
Yeah, define older though.
Well, I would say pre-50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stuff in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
There are certain cachets that bring premiums and have collectible appeal. But generally speaking, what you're talking about is, as you were telling us, Robert, about the coins, I was just sitting there, yeah, I've heard this story before in stamps, you know, because same thing. There's just certain things that are produced by whatever the government or clever marketers that, you know, they just don't pan out.
Well, the post office is really smart. First of all, you know.
Our post office?
Yeah. They started off with like stamps, and then they collected plate blocks, And then they said, wow, you know, people are collecting plate blocks. Instead of having a plate block of four, why don't we have a plate block of 10? And so all of a sudden, people were buying plate blocks of 10. And
that's when people stopped buying plate blocks.
Yeah.
Because then they got too many of them because they got too big for albums and stuff. And
so then it went on and went. And now they do sheets. Yeah. And they'll have a little selvage over the side. So all of a sudden,
20 stamps.
You don't need a stamp. You need the whole sheet. So they're smart. They know what side of the bread to put their butter on.
The interesting thing about the mini sheets like that is that certain ones, because of the topic, do hold their value and even increase over face value. And the high values, you know, like the express mail and things like that, have a certain appeal that keeps them above face value. But for the general public, you know, you're not going to buy a whole sheet.
Nope.
When I have to send an express mail, I go down and pay, and what do they do at the post office? They put a meter on it, you know, just slap a meter on it, and so you don't even get the stamp unless you ask for it.
Well, I know I told this story before, but my son Sean sold a box of baseball cards in a case of baseball cards, and it costs $104 to ship. And so he was panicking, going, you know, I only sold this thing for like $200. What do I do? And I told him, use express mail stamps and then have the person who receives it mail the express mail stamps back to him. So he got four nicely used express mail stamps, which were worth $100. So he paid $4 net in postage.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's the advantage of the high value.
Yeah.
And especially the express mails, because they've changed the rates so rapidly that there were some of those rates and stamps that weren't valid for very long.
Well, like the one that's going to be invalid in, 2 months?
Yeah. The star, first Hubble, not the Hubble, it's the...
What was it?
It's the space...
Yeah, some kind of space theme. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I don't...
Cosmos something.
Yeah. I haven't even seen one. But it's going to be in, you know, it's going to be obsolete in 2 months.
So it'll have less than a year.
Yeah, so that's probably, you know, the next Bethesda fountain sort of stamp that.
Go buy a plate of four or a sheet of four.
And yeah, they come in sheets of four.
Yeah, so you buy the sheet of four
for like $120.
Yeah, but
you can. It's hard to justify, because, you know.
Yeah,
but they're going to be worth more than face value because they're going to be short lived and people won't get them and they'll. But the real key to that would be to find one that somebody has used and sent you an express mail.
Yep.
Because they're not, those aren't common.
My definition, they are used and they are of limited supply because they're going to stop as soon as the postal rate changes.
I'll use the example of the Luke coil. We were talking about the 3-cent Statue of Liberty Luke coil a while back. And when you have... when you find the stamp, it was only produced, I think it was a roll of 10,000, and it was only produced for Look Magazine to send out mailing. And what distinguishes it is that it was tagged, and the previous issue was not tagged. So you get the stamp, and somebody found some remainders and stuff, and they're out there for, $20, $25 a piece, something like that. Which is still a lot of money for a 3-cent stamp, but, you know, it was issued in the 50s, 60s. But if you find one on a Look advertising cover that went through the mail, you're looking at a $10,000 cap.
There you go. Yeah. That's some money.
Yeah. And I have seen those from afar. Nobody's ever let me touch one.
Yeah. Wow.
They own it. They don't want you to touch it. But it's the... It's the idea of the rarity of the use. And so you can find that in modern things even today where the stamp is going to be worth more than face. But if you find it properly used on the right instrument, on the right cover or the right envelope, yeah, you got a good item.
Yep. I would say that any express mail stamp over the last 5 years... used, properly used, hopefully. That's a good one. That's a good stamp. What about coins? let's say over the last 5 years, what's something that if somebody bought, they made money on?
Oh, made money on. I thought you were losing money on.
Well, that's an easier topic.
Yeah, they'll take proof sets and they'll slab those things up at like $23 a pop. And yeah, they'll make some money if they get 70s. I mean, there are, I mean, that's a way that they can, but it's almost like I tell people, hey, they're like, what do you think if I open up these proof coins and I slab them? And I'm like, don't do that. You're throwing money away. Yeah. But, you know, if you really want that, if you can go out and find that one, you can awfully, you know, you can make some money on some stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Because they're 70s. 70s being the perfect strike.
Right. That's the equivalent to 100J in our grading system for stamps. Top dollar. Top dog.
Well, anything else?
I had something about back of the book stuff.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, we did commit to do a back of the book item.
We did, and since I wasn't here the last couple of weeks, I'd like to give my back of the book shout out here. So this is on the local stamps, a Humboldt Express. It's Scott number 86L1. Now, this is the Humboldt Express that ran in Nevada Territory in 1864. So the interesting thing about this, now modesty prevents me from naming the book and the author, but this brilliant author did a study of this, and Samuel Langton was a express operator who was in competition with Wells Fargo. Well, Wells Fargo had an extensive business model that went into all the mining towns and stuff. So he developed express services from the smaller places that Wells Fargo either hadn't got to service or that he could monopolize. And one of them that he set up in June of 1864 started in the Humboldt District of Nevada, which is north of Virginia City, in the present-day town of Unionville, which doesn't even have a post office anymore, it's so small, was the center of this. But they issued this stamp. It's a brown stamp, but it has a great picture of a stagecoach, four horses pulling the, might even be six. Yeah, I think it's four. Anyway, 25 cents, and it paid the express rate from the Humboldt District down to Carson City or Virginia City, where it connected with Wells Fargo. Now, this stamp was printed by the same people, Britton and Ray, that produced the Pony Express stamps of the same period, the what they call the Nevada Territory or the Virginia City Pony Express. And those are also in the local section. We can talk about those later, but another episode. But anyway, these stamps are extremely rare, and covers are like hen's teeth, okay? So this aspiring author, who shall remain unnamed, did a study of these stamps back in the year 2000, which is now almost 24 years ago. And
hold on, let me check the math.
Yeah, that was right. Yeah. And when he was a much younger man. And anyway, so here is the census to show you. Now, I have to backtrack a little bit. Scott catalog price for this stamp, unused, is $1,750. That's current catalog price. $1,250 used. And on cover, $40,000. And that's probably 10,000 less than what they actually go for. And you'll see why. So here's the census of the Langton's Humboldt Express stamps. There are unused off cover 7. Now, keep in mind this was done 24 years ago, and there may be others out there that this amateur author didn't find, but or see, but at least one of those was damaged. So, and there are at least 2 that have original gum. So that's a pretty rare stamp. That's actually probably rarer than the 2 cent Hawaii, Hawaii number one missionary.
Oh.
Unused on cover, which is interesting, but somebody had added two unused stamps to covers. And in the cover census, I would call those probably collector made later, you know. But they were added to covers that came out of Humboldt Express, one of which was saying, I'm enclosing some stamps for you to use. So it kind of makes sense that somebody would link those two. Off cover, used, there's three with paid cancels and 24 with the oval Langton Express. Now, if you've seen a Wells Fargo Express, you've seen kind of the oval, had the running pony in the middle of it. That was the Overland Express. And the others that are used in the Nevada period, what they call the Virginia City Express, has the town name in the Wells Fargo oval. So in the Langtons, the town names are Unionville and Star City. Those were the two cities, little mining camps up there in the Humboldt District that that had the canceling device that said Langtons on it. So there's 24 of those and three and that have the oval and three that have the page, straight line, which was a cancel that they used. Then you have on cover, we really only have six that are even close to being what I would call genuine, used in period, six covers. There's three others that are once tied by a manuscript cancel, or it's not tied. The stamp is not tied, but it's with a manuscript cancel. And one has got a paid cancel, but it's got some questions on it, although it has one of those pedigrees that make it very difficult to say this is not a legitimate stamp. So let's say there's eight covers total.
So how many used stamps total were there?
27. So, well, not counting the covers.
Okay, so eight covers, 27. So
used covers, used, and then basically another nine or so unused. That's okay. What we had in the census.
So, but look at the Scott's catalog value.
Yeah.
There, on cover is like five times.
Yeah.
Four times.
Four times.
But it's 35 times more valuable?
No, it's not four times. It's 400 times. 40,000, right?
Yeah, 40,000.
40,000 over 1,000. So that's... Isn't that
140
40 times?
I don't know. Math is hard.
Yeah.
But 40, it's 40 times. But it reflects, like I said, I have seen many auctions that have this Humboldt stamp offered in the auctions. So I don't know how many of those were in that original census that
it's,
I took.
It still seems interesting how... it's not linear, the increase in... It's definitely curvilinear, and it's definitely much steeper than one would expect.
Well, I'll show you a picture of one of the covers so you can get the appreciation of...
Yeah, hold it up to the microphone so everybody can see
it. Everybody can see that,
it's
right?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it looks like any stamp that's added to a postal stationery. But
this stamp is scarcer than the C3A.
It is. It is.
By a lot.
Well, the catalog lists a pair at $27.50 used. I don't recall seeing the pair in anything. Obviously, the editors have seen that or it wouldn't be in the catalog.
Yeah.
But there is a block of three, you know, an L block that I've seen with another stamp that matches, like it could be from the same thing.
Mm.
So, but again, multiples are extremely rare. And why are they rare? Because Langton started this in June of 1864. In 2 months, they had a fiasco up there. Their service got interrupted in August. Langton gets on his wagon to head up to the Humboldt District. there's an accident and he's killed in Silver City. So all of a sudden, within a couple of months, the Humboldt Register up there, the newspaper that was in Unionville, is advertising that Langton's has gone out of business and Wells Fargo's taking it up. So it only ran for a couple of months. And that's why...
Makes it rare.
Why it's so rare. And I only mentioned this... Well, I mentioned it for a lot of reasons, but we're talking about back-of-the-book stuff and interesting rarities in the back of the book. This is one that really people don't see as rare as it is, because it's kind of lost in the middle of all the locals. But truly, for a Western collector, this is a gem to find one.
I want to send a thank you letter to the author of this book. Do you have any idea where he can be located?
I don't know where he can be located. The name of the book is Wells Fargo Company in Nevada and Other Letter Expresses. And it was printed by Leonard Hartman, you know. In all modesty, I must admit we won the gold medal for literature that year on that book. So whoever this young author is, he's an award-winning author.
Wow. Hmm.
So Langston was a competitor of the Pony Express,
right,
which used horses. He was killed, trampled by horses.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. So do you see any suspicion there?
Yeah. I think the horses were in revolt. The interesting thing about it is he was killed in an accident very similar to one I had on a snowmobile.
Well, was it being pulled by horses also?
Well, horsepower. But whatever rut I hit was similar to the rut he hit and got thrown and got trampled. Yeah, it's a very interesting story. Yes. And if you get a chance to find that book, Leonard Hartman, I'm sure, still has that book available. It's a good read. A lot of history in there about the different expresses that operated in and through Nevada.
So, Mark, you have something from eBay, which I found.
Yeah, something that came up just today. I noticed when I was listing stamps, they have added a new button on the listing that allows where you could, it's an on-off button where you can allow offline payment, which means that you can add a payment method that is not managed by eBay.
Oh, amazing.
I don't know of any announcement about this, so I'm wondering if this is a result of some kind of lawsuit or threatened litigation. But one thing I'm wondering is if you select this, how eBay handles the sales tax, because they collect the sales tax and pay it to the different states, they say.
Maybe that's their way around it.
Right. Or, yeah, is this a way around it? I mean, if you select a payment method that's not eBay, does the seller get charged a sales tax regardless of whether the buyer pays it or not?
Probably also have to check to see what states that's happening in. It might not be every state.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah.
Well, obviously, it's interesting to speculate. I mean, we weren't in on the board meeting when they... figured out that they needed to do this, but now you can turn on or off PayPal, basically.
Right.
I mean, you know, there may be Venmo and stuff like that. I sell a lot of stuff. Robert, do you sell stuff on eBay?
I do.
Do you get payments from anything other than eBay Pay or PayPal?
I do not, because I'm a corporation. I don't take those other payments.
Yeah.
My accountant tells me, don't go there.
Yeah, I do not recall being ever paid by anything other than eBay Pay or PayPal.
Right.
How about you, Mark?
Nope.
So this is clearly a thing for PayPal.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a button that could kind of shut PayPal. So either PayPal sued or sent a letter or something and said, hey, you have to take PayPal. Or they're saying, hey, we can put a little button there and have people opt out of PayPal and then steal all their business.
I thought eBay owned PayPal now.
No,
they did it one time.
They're separate now. Yeah.
Oh, they're separate now.
Yeah, they sold back. And then, it was when eBay took over the payment system, that was a definite hit to PayPal.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So maybe this is...
And PayPal's just also has come back and started asking, for example, my business... This just happened 3-4 weeks ago to reauthorize.
Yep.
Like they did 10-12 years ago when they were or maybe it was only 8 years when they were separating from eBay and PayPal were separating. Mm-hmm. They asked to be reevaluated just to make sure who you were.
Oh, interesting.
So, but I just got that notice. So,
yep. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see. I used to use PayPal all the time and
I used it exclusively. Yeah, and now I'm
back on the eBay plan. Yeah,
I haven't touched. I actually did something on PayPal 2 days ago, but that's this year. Probably I've only been on PayPal that one time.
Well, I sell on Hipstamp as well, and Hipstamp is all just PayPal.
Well, yeah, that's true too. Yeah, yeah, so when I sell it, anyway, keep collecting.
We need your help. Nothing on the internet is free, including our phone and internet connections. So you can support the podcast by joining the Stamp Show Here Today Club. The cost is $10 for a lifetime membership. Please include your APS member number, as we are an APS affiliated club. Your support is greatly appreciated. Our brand new spanking address is 5965 Harrison Drive, Suite 6 in Las Vegas, Nevada, 89120.
You left out the word glorious.
Fabulous.
Because you don't put that on the letter.
Oh. Well, you could.
You could, yeah.
You could, yeah.
Well, kids, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Sideshow Mel, Corporal Punishment, Gina Ballerina, Owen from Knot's Landing, Miss Donna Mills. Oh, she was a sport. We've had lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this silkworm was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.